Welcome to the Nexus Podcast. The word Nexus means a connected group. And when it comes to church leadership, we're better together. No one should have to choose between developing themselves and developing their church. The Nexus Podcast by Christ Fellowship is all about having real conversations that equip and resource you to grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church. So let's lean in.
Hey, thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Nexus Podcast. My name is Aubrey Puyol, and I'm a part of the Nexus team here at Christ Fellowship. We're so excited for season two, and like we stated in the last episode, we're going to bring the conversation internal. We're going to get to know more about ministry and staff here at Christ Fellowship. So for this episode, we are excited to be sitting down with our senior leadership team to talk all things organizational leadership. The senior leadership team consists of Pastors Todd and Julie Mullins, Bill Tumulty, Brandon Cato, Kevin Wilson, and our Nexus host, James Duvall. So without further delay, let's get started. Well, hey, pastors, are you guys ready for this?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I feel like this is going to be a lot of fun. So, Pastor James, can you explain each role on the senior leadership team?
Sure. And that's going to be fun to put you to the test on this. You've been helping me with the podcast all along, so it's great to actually put you on the other side of the microphone. So this is the team that I get to work with. And my role, actually, each one of us oversee a function at the church or multiple functions at the church. And so for me personally, my role is overall creative in worship. I also look over through our marketing communications department and what we now call Christ Fellowship Everywhere, which is our digital expression of everything we do at Christ Fellowship. But my primary role is to drive these three guys crazy.
Well done.
Yep, he does a great job with that. My name is Brandon Cato. I get to look after really business and finance and construction and assets. So everything we're doing in the real estate building campuses, and then also stewardship and kingdom builders. So that's my world.
I'm Bill. I look after all of our campuses and campus teams, and I look after production. Been here for about 20 years, and I can testify that James is the best at driving us crazy.
That's awesome. And my name is Kevin. I'm the newest one of the group, and super thankful for the investment that these guys have made in me. But I get the privilege to look after our central ministry areas like kids, students, young adults, groups, connections, freedom and care. Also look after our churchwide events and our senior management team.
Yeah, I think one of the things too about this team that's interesting though is that most of us on the team, Kevin's probably the newest member of Christ Fellowship. You've been here how many years?
13.
13 years on staff. So I've been here almost 25 years. Bill, you've been 20. Brandon, you kind of grew up here at the church, right?
Yeah. Yep. I've known Pastor Todd since I was 4 years old. My wife and I started coming here when we were just teenagers, got married here. We've grown up in this place. Our kids have grown up in this house, so it's been really cool.
So there's a lot of longevity. Kevin was actually in student ministries when I was a youth pastor here.
Yes.
And so I think what you find on the senior leadership team, and probably at most organizations, you're going to find that at the level of leadership in the organization, there's a lot of longevity and a lot of proven track record that makes it to that level. And this team specifically has a lot just of proof in their leadership. I think that we could say, I could say for each one of these guys.
That's awesome. So, Pastor Bill, I want to jump in and start with you. I know you say around here that when you have a microphone, that means something must be wrong. I'm so excited to see what's going to come out of this question. But can you explain how you guys function together on the senior leadership team and in the organization overall?
Well, I'd say that the way that we function, or the most important thing about how we function, is that we function as a first team. So as a unit function as the team that looks after sort of the spiritual vision of the church. We handle some initiative and strategy, but we've always got to be focusing on what the best thing for the organization is. And if we lead well in that, then we break down silos downstream from us. If we're protective of our areas, then it's probably the most crippling thing that can happen to the organization. So the best thing I can do is consider what the impact will be on James's teams, as he'll do the same for me.
That's awesome. So now that we have an overarching view of the senior leadership team, how you guys function, I would love to hear what is one thing you guys have learned in the past year?
I think for me, just at this level, everything you do, everything you say is watched by the entire organization. And that means how I treat the guys sitting at this table, but also our senior leaders and how we carry messages out of the room. It's been super important just to guard that for our team, not for any reason to be fake, but really just to make sure that we're not sending a message out of the room that's not ready to be sent out of the room. I don't know if that makes sense, but there's oftentimes we'll have discussions on the table that will last for weeks. In the past, you would be in a situation or a room, you'd have a conversation and immediately you take that out, get it to the team, get it to people that are moving. In this room, in this table, oftentimes we have to hold on to things for a couple of weeks until it's ready to come out of that room. And that's protecting everyone at the table, but also protecting everyone on team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really good. I've learned a lot over the last year as I've stepped onto this team, but two very practical things that I feel like I have that I am learning and will continue to learn, hopefully. One, I've learned that my voice carries a different weight in every room that I'm in, and I probably underestimated how much that would change when I stepped onto the senior leadership team. And so I have to be super mindful to certainly, as best as I can, not go first in most rooms that I'm in because it can easily steer the conversation. The other area that I feel like I'm learning a lot in is I've gotten the privilege to serve as a central director in a lot of the ministries that I'm looking after and caring for now, but I've never been, for lack of a better word, this far removed. And I'm learning that I have to empower and trust the leaders and directors around me in ways that I can't just be a subject matter expert in one area anymore. I've got to really be a generalist, and I have to really trust the people that I'm leading in ways that I haven't had to before.
That's really good. You know, I think the weight of leadership, you mentioned, Kevin, just that your voice carries so much broader. And I think the decisions that we make collectively, if one of us makes a decision, it's really all of our decisions. Yep, yep. Like we're lumped into that decision. And I think that there's just a piece of that, there's a separation a bit, not that we would want, but from the organization. I recently had the opportunity to kind of step into an interim role as a campus pastor. And I realized that even though I was interim campus pastor, I was still senior director. Mm-hmm. So I really wasn't one of the campus pastors. They didn't view me that way. I was always kind of an outsider in that group. I think they appreciated me in that team, but I couldn't just kind of hang with the campus pastors as one of the campus pastors because I'm still a senior leader at the church. And I didn't realize that and how much like things I would say to kind of a, you know, comrade, if you will, as a campus pastor, they didn't take that way. Even though I saw myself that way, they still heard my voice as something bigger or broader than what it was. And so I think that piece of that there's, as senior leadership, there's really more responsibility and less freedom in relationship in the organization. I think that's something I'm learning more and more about.
So I think one of the things that I've really been processing over the last year, as we're really carrying the vision of what we've been called to do as a church forward, is trying to figure out what are the disconnects or the differences between young leaders that we're leading today and kind of where we came from as leaders. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that my background was in missions before I stepped into this seat, and it kind of relates to those philosophies in that I think that a lot of our young leaders process or think differently at a very base level than we did when we stepped into mm-hmm. ministry. And so I think they're just as passionate about Christ. I think they're just as passionate about doing a great job, but I think ministry is a part of their lives. And I think for many of us, and I'm speaking as the old guy in the room, pretty much every room, what I figured is that a lot of us, ministry was the central abiding thing in our lives. And everything else was an outflow of that. And with the younger leaders, it's an important part of their life, yeah. but it's not their life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can villainize that. We can choose to say, well, they're just not as called, which is ridiculous. Or we can say, if we don't sort this out and figure out how to do this in a way that they can lead and do all that God's called them to, then it's going to be existential to us as churches. If we don't figure this piece out, you know, in the church world, we're like, well, we got to make them do that more. Like, no, we can't make their calling our calling. Mm-hmm. All we can do is work with the calling that they have and the thing that's central to them. That's been weighing on me over the last year for sure.
It's really good too, because I think along with that, we've had to learn how to be agile in how we lead, because many of the people that are on our team that we're leading are much younger than us, minus Kevin. Kevin's still the young guy. But the reality is that if we're not constantly growing and developing ourselves, even at the level of leadership we are, we're going to miss out on how we actually lead others because, you know, it's not just because we're on the team that we've arrived, that we have to actually continue to grow and develop how we're communicating to the next generation of leaders to release them into their calling, which is going to, like you said, look different than what our mindset is for sure.
That's right.
And I think that goes perfectly into the next question is, what are the most critical characteristics of today's effective leaders? Because I know for my generation, we're always asking like, how can we grow? What can we step into? How can I get from this level to this level? And it goes perfectly with, okay, well, we just need to work with what you already have. So Pastor Brandon, can you start with what are the most critical characteristics?
Man, that's a loaded question. There's so much in there. But I think what I look for, I love investing in our younger leaders in the organization and just spending time with them. But I want them to be hungry for what there is in their plate, you know, what's in their hands, what's been trusted to them. I just want them to be hungry. If they don't have all the answers, that's okay. I'll spend time with them and help them get there. I want them to be loyal, trustworthy. I want them to be honest. Come to me. If you messed up, just come in and own it. Like, hey man, I dropped the ball. I thought this was the right way or that was the right way. We can fix that. We can work with that. I think when deception starts to come into the conversation, that's when I kind of start having all these flags go up. Like, we need to work on that or talk about that because you're not going to make it too much further. Mm-hmm. Those are just some of the few that right off the top.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I agree completely with what Brandon said. The character issues are huge. One of the things I coach a lot of, and I try to have 5 or 6 younger leaders that I'm mentoring at a time. And one of the things I coach on most often is intentionality. Mm-hmm. And a great example is I'll often get asked, well, how do I go to my leader with that question? And what I find is that when they're not getting through to their leader or the gravity of the question doesn't get through, it's because it's been lumped into an agenda and they're trying to find a right or a fun spot in the conversation to kind of lace it in. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, if you're intentional and forecast for the leader, hey, we're going to have a conversation about this. Well, I only need 15 minutes, but I need to talk about this. Then there's not a lot of noise and a lot of clutter. And just like you were talking about, being trustworthy is being intentional in how you're answering questions and thoughtful, not just answering a question. I've got to check the box. Somebody asked a question, I'm going to check a box. And I see intentionality lacking. And when there is a fire, it's typically because somebody wasn't intentional about the way they approach something.
Yeah, I think all of that is fantastic. And Bill, you were talking in the last question about leading the younger generations too. I know one thing that everyone values is authenticity. And that's something that's key, I think, in our world today. But something that I've been personally resonating with is, you know, for so long now, the church, we've talked a lot and all of us in this table have talked a lot about leadership. And I think one of the lost arts of a great leader in our context as pastors is the role of a shepherd. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about 1 Peter 5, talking about caring for the flock that God has entrusted you. And I think, you know, sometimes it can feel lonely in leadership. We talk about that. But if our pastors around here, Pastor Ryan that looks after our family ministries, talks about if you're a good shepherd, you're going to smell like your sheep. And so just being in with your people, spending time with people, you know, not running from the crisis, not running from care situations, running towards people, that's kind of an aspect that I've been wanting to grow in my leadership and something that I think can sometimes be a forgotten art in our world.
Yeah, I love all that. And I think one of the things that you're sharing about when a crisis happens, do you run to or from it? I know that the question is, does a leader have the character to hold up under pressure? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we saw that even during COVID, is it really kind of weeded out strong character on our team, is like those people who really stepped up to the challenge or kind of backed away from it. It doesn't matter, you know, how old you are as a leader. If you don't have character, if you don't have integrity, if, you know, I love thinking about integrity as that kind of the glue that holds things together. And so, you know, the integrity of a ship's hull or the integrity of a bridge, but it's what holds life together. And any level of leadership, if there's not character, if there's not integrity there, then when pressure comes, and it's going to come, whatever level you lead at, if you don't have the integrity and character, you're going to see those cracks and you're going to find out who's able to stand up under that. So
That's great.
Awesome. Pastor Kevin, can you hit this question for us on all of you guys you talked about at the very beginning, all the different departments you look over, all the many team members, but how do you, as a senior leader in the organization, how do you strike that balance between future planning and vision casting for Christ Fellowship, but also being present for your staff and for your direct reports?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that we've learned to do over the years. I think one of the things that really helps the four of us in particular function in that capacity is the way we've actually set up our meeting cadence and our meeting structure. So we have a kind of a daily stand-up, so we're always constantly touching base, filling each other in on what's going on. That we have a weekly tactical meeting where we're hitting all of our agenda items that we need to cover. And we actually, the four of us, have set apart time on our calendar to have space for strategic thinking and strategic meetings. So if an item comes up in conversation or in one of our weekly meetings, and we know, hey, we're not going to solve it in this conversation, nor would it be the best use of this time, we actually have space to be forward thinking. We're gonna punt that conversation to that designated meeting spot. I also think that that allows us to be more present with people because we've predefined that space. And so we know how to utilize our calendars in a way that allows us to be present with people. And then I know for me, if it's something that I can knock out on my own time, I'm going to err towards making myself present for one of my direct reports because I know I can catch up on my stuff later.
Yeah, I think some of what's helped me is the who that's around me, having great people who assist in managing my calendar. Like, there's no way I could do that by myself. So the who power of like having those key people that are helping manage priorities. But I think on the people side, one of the lessons I learned when I do one-on-ones with my direct reports, it's actually not my meeting. It's actually their meeting. And I do everything I can to not cancel one-on-ones. If I have something that is a conflict, I try to reschedule that time and the time that works for them because I know my team needs FaceTime with me. And so a lot of my one-on-ones are not about me trying to drive an agenda. It's really about them coming and sharing what's on their heart, what's on their plate, what they need. If they have some boulders that need to be removed, that I can speak into. So I think prioritizing that one-on-one time that and it's going to be different for different people. You know, I don't have the same amount of time with everybody, but I do want to make sure that I have that consistent FaceTime with everybody on my team so that they know that I'm available. Great.
Yeah, I would just say that's one of the things I learned from Bill as I led up to you is watching how the people around you helped with your calendar. And I was coming from corporate world. I didn't let anybody touch my calendar because I didn't want anybody taking time that they didn't deserve or that I didn't want to give up or any of those things. So coming into ministry side, I still held my calendar up until about a year ago. And Bill said, it's going to kill you. You have to get somebody to take over your calendar. And man, it's been a huge lift on me, but also being very intentional, like you're saying, James and Bill, you said is, you know, having the direct report meetings, making sure it's their meeting agenda, because I'm also a highly relational leader. So I would let it go all personal, all relational, and we'd miss agenda items. And then we'd have to come back and be like, we missed this agenda item. So trying to make sure there's a mixture of personal in there, how's your family, how's your kids, how's things at home, but also, hey, we need to hit these agenda items because we need to move this forward. And then I also add a couple layers down, like, you know, quarterly or twice a year, I'll meet with some people down in the team just to check in on that whole department and make sure that they're getting what I'm thinking they're getting from that leader. And then I can also just check in on them personally as well. So it's been an adjustment, but it has been a huge weight lift off of me. It's not as taxing.
Yeah. So I don't schedule anything for myself. I work 100% off of calendar. And I work with the team to let them know, to be as vulnerable as possible, to let them know, hey, this is a meeting you can't schedule at that time. I will have nothing. Okay. It's going to be a waste of everybody's time. I'm one of those guys that gets up ridiculously early. Like our senior leaders, Todd and Julie, I've had meetings with them at 4:00. I've canceled. And they reach out to me and they're like, is everything okay? It's like, yeah. I would not remember anything that happened in that meeting. Yeah. Like, and just have enough integrity and have enough vulnerability to say, yeah, I'm going to be toast. Like, it's going to be way better in the morning. Some of the tactical things also that I put in with that is I have blocks of time on my calendar that my team can schedule themselves in for. Mm-hmm. So we have regular one-on-ones. You know, I have a significant number of direct reports. And if it's up to a calendar flow, I might not see them for 3 or 4 weeks, right? But every week they have an opportunity to take 15-minute slots. They can take them all and they can schedule themselves into it. And that's a, you know, that's a period of time when it's like, if it's a family thing, if it's whatever it needs to be, they can digitally connect with me during those slots. And that's, it doesn't get utilized in a way where it's an emergency all the time. I think it's just good for them to know. And then I'm very accessible to my teams by text, by phone. I never bounce a text, a phone call, so that if it's urgent and immediate, it can be answered.
That's really good.
That's great.
I just add a couple other things. There's I'm probably going to get the name of the book wrong, so we can put this in the show notes, but I think it's called The CEO's Secret Weapon.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the few books that I actually gave to James. But
it was really great.
But it's all about the power of having a great assistant. And none of us would consider ourselves CEOs, but that senior leader level, whatever level you're at, if maybe you're a youth pastor or you're a business manager or whatever that is, having somebody that's going to strengthen you in those areas is going to be really powerful. I think the other thing too is I found that I'm in kind of going off what you said, Pastor Bill, is like I'm only as good for my team as I am for myself. Mm-hmm. And so like I try not to just book my calendar solid. I have kind of rules for when things can get on my calendar. Like, you know, looking at the week ahead, if it's not on my calendar for the week ahead by the end of this week, I try not to add things because I need to make sure that I have mental space. I need to have margin, you know, be fresh for my teams when I'm having those meetings. So everybody's gonna have different rhythms of how they work. Bill's team, a lot of them are dispersed throughout our different locations. My teams are more centralized. So I'm with my team a lot all week long. So they get a lot of FaceTime with me, but depending on what kind of leadership style you are or where your teams are, will have to require you to kind of manage those relationships.
That's great.
I'll just add one thing. There's people probably going to be listening that are saying, well, that's great. You guys have assistants and teams and all mm-hmm. that stuff. So when I was in missions and I was a coordinator in missions, I had a volunteer for 7 years that worked full time.
Yep.
And scheduled everything for me and helped me actually develop some of the processes that I use today and is now actually on team and assisting our founding pastor.
Yeah.
So it's, don't limit yourself by that. It's just about how much you're actually willing to give away.
It's really a surprise to me that there's people who are really passionate about that stuff. Like I'm not, but some people are really passionate about this stuff and they would love to volunteer to give their time to, you know, build that way. So
I remember, Pastor Bill, when you actually talked about that in our leadership college, you challenged us, hey, find a dream team member that can help you do something that actually will lift your load. And we were all like, we're allowed to do that? And you're like, absolutely. Like, please do this. That's what they're here for. There's people that love that. So I remember that was something we all took away from.
Awesome.
And as the visionaries of Christ Fellowship, what is one thing you each are looking forward to seeing in the future of Christ Fellowship?
I'm really excited about our young leaders. Like we have a tremendous amount of young leaders that are really starting to be released to do ministry. And I that's on our pastors, Todd and Julie. They really invest in the next generation. And just getting to go to campuses on the weekend and watch them start to see their gifting coming out, the call in their life coming out, and starting to see them lean into it and go forward. It makes me want to do everything that I get to look after better. Like there's people in my world that are younger and getting to see them step out and do things that they haven't done before and take leadership to a new level is just exciting. It makes me excited about the future of Christ Fellowship. We can get all the buildings we want. We can get all the property we want. We can do all that. We can have all the money in the bank we want. But if we don't have young leaders that are coming up and really pulling people with them, other young people. And we just saw that in kids camp. And that just, it just gave me so much encouragement for the future of Christ Fellowship.
Yeah, I couldn't echo that anymore. Kevin and I got to be a part of a camp that we did a lot of years ago. And we were both, you know, pretty early in our careers at Christ Fellowship. And watching kids in middle school and high school environments that got a call to ministry during the season of these camps that we did. And ultimately, now they're directing departments of ministry here at the church. Some of them aren't at Christ Fellowship, but they're in ministry full time. And that probably speaks for all of us, but just the people that we've gotten to sow into, God's gracious enough to allow us to continue to be on earth and see the fruit of that in a pretty short order. You sow in for 10 or 15 years and you've got people that are leading way better than you ever did at their age.
Yeah, I think in a culture where it's super easy to compare and not celebrate, that's probably been my greatest joy in ministry, like being a student pastor for so long, watching so many of my former students grow up, get married, make you feel really old, but step into all that God has for them and then go further than you, faster than you. You know, we've said a lot around here that we want our ceiling to be someone else's platform. And the guys around this table have modeled that for me and so many others. But super excited, like these guys said, about the youth and the young leaders in our church. But oftentimes people say like, oh, what could you see yourself doing at Christ Fellowship in 2 years or 5 years and 10 years? I'm like, it doesn't exist now. Like wow. The amount of things that if we rewound, you know, this tape to 2 years ago, even, you know, the team that I'm looking after didn't exist. And so I always love like, it's such a loaded question, but I always love answering that question because I'm like, it's something we don't even know about yet because the way that the Lord speaks to our senior pastors and to this team, I know one thing like that our team's been resonating in is just prayer. And like praying that God would unleash this new movement in us. So like part of what excites me is the unknown of the future because the Lord himself is the only one that knows, you know, what we're going to be talking about 2 years from today.
I would just echo that. I mean, you're going to hear a constant theme is like, I think one of the things that I love about these guys and sermon with these guys is just the abundance mentality. It's like none of us are like holding on to our roles or like we have to do this for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think what you'd find in the four of us and even with Pastor Todd and Julie who are on this team is there is an excitement about releasing.
Yeah.
None of us are trying to prove something or do things. So I think just what they've said, the future generation, that the vision is going to go beyond anything that we have our hands in right now. It's that whole idea, Kevin, what you just said of building the platform for the next generation is they're already doing it, but what they're going to take the vision of the church to is far beyond anything that this team can do. And so I think that's what I'm looking forward to is just that, you know, for what the church is going to look like for my 17-year-old daughter or, you know, for your daughter and for your kids and Brandon, your kids are a part of that generation that's making the move. So you're going to hear that we're all unanimous in that. It's all about the next generation. It's not about what we can do today.
That's great. Well, as we wrap up, whether personally in your leadership journey or here at Christ Fellowship, what was the greatest significant risk that you have ever taken and why?
Personal risk.
Personal or leadership.
Yeah, I stepped onto this team.
That was the same risk I took as having you on the team.
That's actually very true. James was the author of me coming onto the senior team. He actually posted up the idea. He's actually the disruptive technology of our senior leadership team, but he suggested that probably 9 years ago now. And I was director of missions, pretty sweet gig, and it was rolling along. And I got asked to do this, and that was a huge risk because I've never been a campus pastor, never worked in one of the common ministry sides because, you know, missions, they used to kid was black ops in those days. So it was a huge risk, but thanks to, you know, James and Pastors Todd and Julie, they were patient with me and took me to a very remedial level.
Well, Bill, I could say the same thing about when you called me up out of students, but I think the greater risk was, I'll never forget, James, when you brought me in your office and said, Kevin, I need someone to lead kids ministry.
That's right.
And I'm like, James, my extent of kids min experience is that I've checked my daughter in for weekend services. And I stepped into kids ministry and then 3 weeks later, we were remote in quarantine for 23 weeks. But man, it was such like a learning and growing experience for me to understand you don't always have to be a subject matter expert to make a difference on a team. And it stretched me and it was difficult and I learned a lot from it. But I really learned to appreciate just relationship and organizational influence and trusting those that around you. When your entire team beneath you knows way more about the area you're leading than you do, it's going to reveal a lot in you as a leader and it's going to force you to grow. And so both of you guys have called me up to different things that I certainly didn't think I was ready for, but that was certainly a risk.
Yeah. It's all about the who, man, not the what. So you're the who.
I think for me, really, it's stepping out of corporate world into ministry world. That was a, you know, the first phase of that was bivocational, and that was pretty easy to get through because I still had my hands in corporate and I knew I could always go back to that. But in 2018, when God said, hey, you're going to step out of all that and go completely full-time into ministry, I knew I was putting, you know, a ton of money on the line, all the corporations on the line, everything that I had owned and led to that point, pretty much making the decision to walk away with nothing at that point, to step into ministry and go into, I didn't know what it looked like. I was part-time bivocational campus pastor making that decision. But to look back now, I can say, man, that's the greatest risk I ever took in my life.
I don't know that I've seen things as great risk. I've made a lot of transitions over the last, you know, many years here at Christ Fellowship. I think probably the greatest significant risk I've taken is my response to failure. I think several years ago, there was a significant leadership failure. It wasn't moral or ethical or anything, just significant leadership failure in my life where personal that I could have kind of bolted and kind of went, I'm just going to run from that failure. But I think the significant risk for me, which has paid off huge rewards, was to step into that failure and learn from it and grow from it. And that actually, that decision was what positioned me to actually be on this team today. Wow. And I think, so it's more than just taking a role or something. It's when a significant failure happens or you make a major mistake or whatever, and owning that and learning from it and growing from it, that I would say that's probably the biggest significant risk that I took of what could happen if I tried to step into this and be better.
I thought you were going to say being a part of the Hope Ride and riding 300 miles down the state of Florida.
That's... Well, that was a risk, but done it a couple times now.
Personal risk. Well, thank you so much, guys. I'm so glad you all said that you hold your calendar tightly, because I'm sure this was such great conversations that people are going to be flooding your calendars to hear more about this. So thank you so much.
You and we will make sure. Questions to Bill.
Yes, we will make sure to secretly somehow get your information out there for people. But all of this that we talked about will be in the show notes. And so we hope you enjoy the conversation and we look forward to next week's.
Thanks for listening to the Nexus Podcast. For additional resources and show notes from today's episode, check out our website, nexusplatform.com. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a comment below. We hope these conversations left you feeling equipped and resourced as you grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church.